You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. You mean my recently bug-bombed house? Yeah, how about that? Bug-bombed it. Dual-phase operation. Phase one would have been the east side during yesterday's program. Shut it off, tape it off, boom, bomb it, air it. It's all good. Yeah. Last night, west side of the operation, got compromised though. When I went to air it out, I already found that there was a window open in one room. So we had to reattack that room. I know I sound like a dork, but I sound like one of those guys. I got to call the XO, see what time chow is when we get the fire team together. All right, your wife's not the XO. Truth be told, she's the CO. Let's not call her that, though. Let's call your wife. You don't have a fire team. You have kids. You need to relax. Yeah, so reattacked in this one room. Aerated overnight. All bugs eliminated. At least that's what they advertise. So, anyhow. A very good Friday morning to you. Mike McNamara for Friday edition of All Marine Radio. On your home for it, the All Warrior Nation. Or the All Warrior Radio Network, whichever you prefer. Okay, so let me tell you about my day yesterday. And then I want to talk about... I want to talk about a Fox poll relative to immigration, and I also want to talk about pension reform in Chicago. Chicago, one of the greasiest places on the planet. Yeah, the shiny buildings, that's not chrome, that's grease. Yeah, you'll get optically confused by it, okay? Optically confused. By what you see on the side of the building. Chicago's slimy, greasy. Anyway, so I'll get to that in a second. But let me tell you what I want to tell you first. Youth sports are hugely important to kids. Mike and I, if you missed the third hour yesterday, put that on your list of things to listen to this week, right? And if you're missing shows, like, come on, man, get with the program. So, Mike's bombing around Granbury, and he bumps into a young woman. He said no older than 19, probably. And they strike up a conversation. And so he then, they start a conversation that involves trauma. And so he then talks about, he wanted to talk to Peyton, who was on the program earlier, if you missed this week. If you missed that, I think on Tuesday, then Peyton sings this song. Okay, so that's Peyton. So anyway, he says, well, I want to talk to Peyton because Peyton shot on her high school marksmanship team in her JROTC unit. And so he said, I wanted to ask her this and that. And he's talking about the guy who runs. And the Granbury High School is the number one shooting team in the nation. Yeah. And so Mike's talking about the guy who runs the program. He's a retired Marine. And he talks about what he does for these kids, what he gives them in terms of structure in their lives and get them to understand what discipline is and things like that. So we were talking about, kind of broaden the lens and talk about what coaches do and people like that do for young people around the country. So fast forward a few hours later, my oldest daughter and I, Catherine, we have to drive to Anaheim, which might as well be on the other side of the planet at about 4 o'clock. But anyway, we undertake Orange County traffic, and I know the ins and outs of it. So Catherine refuses to accept that, but it's a fact. So we drive to Anaheim, and Anaheim, a high school built in 1898. Yeah, only two schools in Orange County older. Santa Ana High School, built in 1889, and Fullerton High School, built whenever, between the two. Okay, so anyway, 1893, I think. So, we get there, and I like old schools, right? I mean, they have the Marty McFly look to them, you know, the bell tower, the clock tower, and, you know, they have, two of our kids went to an older school in Grand Forks, North Dakota. It was completely refurbished after a flood, so it was a great school. But it was old. It looked old. The old, like, tall columns and construction. It's a great-looking school. Anyway, so Anaheim High School, you know, is like that, right? So we go in the gym. Yeah, the gym's been around forever. And so it's got, like, the main floor, and then it's got a second deck for wooden bleachers, right, that go up. So we're sitting up there. It's hot and humid in the gym. And so watching my 14-year-old daughter play volleyball, Colleen. Now, Colleen's not a great athlete. I will tell you that right now. But she likes sports, and she works hard. And she's, unbeknownst to me, she's the captain of her volleyball team. I noticed that yesterday. So they wind up playing. Now, girls volleyball is 2 out of 3 games to 25. The first two play to 25. And if it's not settled in 2 games, then the third game goes to 15. So Catherine and I are walking up, and I said, you know, what's important, you know, about these games is that they're real to young people. And that's the contribution of sports, is that there's real consequences. They're real-life dynamic events that you have to negotiate. And everybody can learn if you have a good teacher. Everybody can learn. And even if you don't have a good teacher, you can learn. Okay? And what you can learn is that hard work wins. Hard work wins. Being a good teammate wins. And even if you don't have a good coach, you can learn those things, especially if you have a parent that can push those things. So Colleen has become a pretty good little volleyball player. I have to say that. Normally I don't give my kids compliments, but I will say that. So the game goes, Colleen's team wins the first game, Anaheim wins the second game, and now the third game goes, and Colleen's team is up 14-10 or something like that. and they give it away. So now it's 15-15, so essentially in overtime. I think it goes to something like 17-17, and Colleen's going to serve now. Game tied, 17-17, overtime. Now the varsity game's next, so the gym is, you know, as crowded as it was while we were there. And you wouldn't get it confused for a basketball game, but a fairly large number of people for a volleyball game. And, you know, as girls, probably more than boys, I think, they're screaming. Both their varsity and JV teams are there. Their parents are there. They're screaming and yelling. They're stomping their feet on the floor. Catherine's yelling, "Go, Colleen!" Right? I'm sitting there watching. And she smokes two serves. And they win. And the thing about that, other than, you know, you're so happy as a parent. And I told Catherine, I said, she'll never forget today. She'll never forget today in her life. Because it's not the bullshit of, here's a participation trophy. You didn't work at all to get this, but we're going to give you one anyway. Because we think it will enhance your self-esteem. Or at least it won't damage your self-esteem. But, you know, things you've never heard said on the planet. Hey, stay right here. I want to go in my bedroom and get you all my participation medals. Yeah, you don't hear that. Nobody's heard that. Nobody's ever heard that on the planet. Because kids don't, they're like, they throw them away. Because they don't mean anything. Because you didn't work for it. So, you know, we were talking. I said, that's the great part about extracurricular activities that teach these kind of things. Well, we lived in North Dakota. You know, I should get these guys on, or at least one of them. There are two guys that I met, a guy named Brad Sherwood and a guy named Dean Opp. They, and I was just doing this, you know, you got 15 hours a week of radio to fill up, so you're looking for content. So they run a program called Summer Performing Arts, right? Nicknamed SPA for short. Okay. SPA does the arts. They put on plays. They put on music events. Okay. They don't turn anybody away. What? They don't turn anybody away. So I'm going to have these guys on, and I don't know that they don't turn anybody away. And they've listened to my show. So, now I'm not the biggest theater guy. I'm a much bigger theater person now than I used to be. So I have them on, and so we're talking about the program, and I said, so tell me what the program's about. And they said, well, we do arts. We do plays, we'll do dramas, we'll do musicals, and then we'll do musical events. Like, we'll put on concerts, we'll put on, like, reviews and stuff where kids come out and sing, and we do a, you know, kind of a variety show thing of that. And then they said, but really what we're just doing, and this is where they have me, like, pegged, like, totally pegged. All we're doing is teaching, you know, respect, hard work, and discipline. Like, they say that to kids, and all we're doing is using the arts. I freeze. I look at them. I said, what'd you just say? And they had me hooked, right? They had me hooked. And then they say, and we don't turn anybody away. What? What do you do with that group of kids? We find something for them. You know, some of them are performers. Some of them don't want to perform, though, but they want to be involved. But we have stage construction that needs to be done. We have people that need to move stuff. And they can be stagehands. They can do lighting. They can do audio. There's all kinds of things that young people can learn to do. And the whole part of it is we mentor about being part of a team, about discipline, about showing up, about consistency. And I was like, holy shit. So to me, you know, it doesn't matter, but these things tend to be real, much more real than academics are for kids. Some kids find it in academics, and I certainly would denigrate that. But those achievements that young people find in extracurricular events, and I would even say academic, right, in debate, on math teams and things like that, those are worth their weight in gold as a parent. because the things that you say afterwards aren't, you did great, right? You certainly congratulate him. You know, you talk about, do you know why you were able to do that? And Colleen's smart enough, right? She's been around our family long enough. Because I work hard and practice. Exactamundo there, Pumpkinhead. Exactamundo. And that's not a small thing either. When the whole gym is screaming at you, and you have to step up and do it, and there's nobody out there with you. There's nobody else serving that ball. It's just you. And what prepared you for that was hard work. And don't ever forget that moment, because you can do it. I mean, you literally, what would you pay for as a parent for those? I mean, you'd pay anything. So, coaches around the country, you know, we see them on TV acting like idiots, except the guys in Little League who have to be on their best behavior because they're on TV and they're mic'd up. And those guys make me laugh because you know the way they coach their teams. They don't always coach them like, is everybody having fun? Come on, smile. But when you watch them now in the Little League World Series, when you watch them go out to talk to their pitchers, you know, and you can imagine the kid that's pitching, right? Uh-oh, here he comes. Hey, everybody having fun? And the kids look at him like, who is this dude, man? I don't even know this guy. Oh, I forgot. Now we're on TV. The whole thing changed. So it used to be, hey, bro, what are you doing, man? Throw a strike. All right? Get ahead of this guy. Okay? And then throw a curveball. And then put his sorry ass away. Got it? Yes, coach. Now, yeah, Little League, it's like, oh, my God. Makes me want to vomit. Who coaches like that? Hey, is everybody happy? No, we're getting our ass kicked. Yeah, well, it's okay. We're all here, and we're all going to have ice cream afterwards. So just give it your best effort, and whatever happens, happens, and we'll all be happy. That's right. The hummingbird people have got to Williamsport. Good God. Yeah, anyway, it ain't. Most coaches are not like that. No, but I just wanted to put in a paid political announcement this morning. I've always thought that sports are such a huge part in developing young people, or can be, and that's why you should encourage your kids to be athletic, get them in sports, and hopefully they'll cross paths with good mentors who will give them the keys of life. Okay? Now let me remind you what the keys of life are. There's four of them. Hard work. There's five if I throw integrity in there, okay? There's hard work, discipline of the self, okay? There's respect, and there's toughness, okay? Those are the keys of life. Hard work, respect, toughness, and I forgot the fourth one between the time I said it the first time and the second time. And integrity is in there too. And those experiences are real for your kids. Like Catherine and I were walking to the car yesterday. I said, you'll never get that out of Colleen's mind. Okay? And you know what the most important thing that she learned? I can do it. I can do it. And then you know, and she, undeniably, how I got to this point? I showed up at practice and I worked. I worked hard. And that was really cool. That was really fun not to screw it up. It was really fun. Right? And then you laugh afterwards, like, what was going through your head? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was, like, losing my mind, but I just, like, focused on my serve. There you go. And so it's very cool. So if you don't have your kids, your grandkids aren't doing sports, get them in sports. If they're boys, get them in hockey or lacrosse. Get them in something physical, because it's the boys need to mix it up a little bit. They need to know that it's okay. You're a boy. Don't try to be a girl. Well, I guess you can if you want to. And I guess I'm supposed to say that I guess there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not my cup of tea. If you're a boy, all right, go do boy stuff, all right? And I won't judge if your boy wants to do girl stuff, whatever. I don't care. But I think a lot of times boys, you know, their whole life, you can't fight anymore. Can't do anything physical anymore, right? Sports, you can't hit anybody too hard. Well, that's not the way life is, man. So get involved in physical sports where, you know, it's good to hit somebody hard. Yeah. Do it clean. Do it legit. But not bad. Aggression's not a bad thing. It's part of who you are. So anyway, I love that stuff. So, here's what we're going to do today. We will check the news. Yeah, Fox News poll. Listen to this. Fox News. Yeah, did you hear this? Did I say Fox News? Voters continue to prefer a pathway to citizenship. Yeah, Fox News. Okay, this is not from CNN. This is Fox News. Okay, voters continue to support a pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants currently living in the United States, although support has declined since February. And while majorities remain concerned about certain issues linked with illegal immigration, voters are becoming increasingly less worried about them, according to the latest Fox News poll. The top concern among voters have regarding illegal immigration is the possible drain on Uncle Sam. 69% say they are very or somewhat concerned it will overburden government programs. That's down from 79%. So concerned, but less concerned than they used to be, and 79% in 2015. So July of 2015, so a three-year period of time. And the high in terms of that concern was 87% in 2006. So in the span of 12 years, that number has come down 18%, almost 20%. That's significant. Okay. Other concerns include the possibility illegal immigration will lead to increased crime, 59%. Terrorism, 55%. Take jobs away from U.S. citizens, 50%. But each of those problems has seen double-digit decreases since 2015 as well. Changing the culture of our country was the least of voters' worries, with 47% saying they were somewhat or very concerned. That's a Fox News poll. So let me tell you, all this immigration bullshit, right? Here's the All-Marine Radio solution to immigration. Number one, okay, you got to secure the southern border. Notice I say secure. Where a wall is appropriate, build a wall. Because, ask Israel, they work. You just got to do it right. Okay? Where you don't need a wall because of terrain and things like that, and there's not very many people coming through, right? Then do what we do in the military. Sensors, there's drones, there can be, you know, some kind of presence-activated devices out there that alert you to somebody, and then you have GBOS cameras that can slew to that site. Oh, yeah, that was a coyote. Pfft, never mind. Oh, there's another one over here. Yeah, so you have software and sensors out there, okay, and then those things are backed up by cameras. And then you have somebody monitoring the camera feeds. Boop. This sensor's got a hit, camera slews, they look, oh my God. So that's in areas where there's not much movement on the border. So secure the border because we're not going to do this again. We're not doing this again. So that's phase one, secure the border. Phase two, the Dreamers, they have a pathway towards citizenship. Okay, they were brought here, they didn't ask to come here, all right, whatever. So what happens, they register, and they go through, you know, whatever the Immigration Naturalization Service says they should do, okay, and then they become citizens. Okay, now their parents who brought them here, and everybody else that's here, okay, they get a pathway towards some sort of legal status in the United States short of citizenship, okay? Or maybe it might someday evolve towards citizenship, but I would say it should evolve towards citizenship when you sneak into the country. But we'll allow you to stay here. Okay? And that gets you past the thorny issue of, hey, they're all going to vote Democrat or they're all going to vote Republican. And so we'll never support it because, you know, it's going to impact the nation politically and we're not having that. Okay, so take that off. And what we're trying to do is deal with this issue and be done with it so we can move on to other substantive issues in the nation. Because guess what? They're out there. Now they're all on a pathway to some legal status. Now, if you're in this pathway to legal status and you become a felon, you'll be deported. Know that. You're not going to an American prison. You're going to be deported. So, let's get beyond immigration. It's not that. Let me tell you, all the pieces are out there. And when you see a Fox News poll that says voters continue to prefer a pathway towards citizenship, that means don't listen to Ann Coulter. Okay? Hit the mute button on old Horseface. Steve Bannon and the whole they'll self-deport crowd, don't listen to those jackasses either. Okay? So, the vast majority of American people want the southern border secure, want a pathway to citizenship for dreamers, a pathway to a legal status for everybody else in here as long as they're hardworking, and deport the criminals. Let's do that. All right, so we're solving problems. We're making good citizens here. Friday here on All Marine Radio. So we all know what that means. And that means that Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. So, good morning to you on a Friday. Every time I hear that, I say this, but, man, she annihilated that song. No, literally, that thing's awesome. This is dedicated to the chef today. The second hour, we're going to talk to the chef, but today he's undergoing a little bit of undergoing an angiogram, and that is where they kind of like stick a camera up in towards your heart, and then it turns into an angiogram if they find any blockages. So he's going to do that today. So it's dedicated to the chef who comes on here every week And I will tell you this, who absolutely loves coming on and loves the email that he gets from listeners here. And you know, again, it's Chef's dad. He flew C-47s in World War II, flew during the Normandy campaign. And, you know, so things like when things that you see on TV, the invasion of Normandy, Kim's dad flew in that thing. You know, paratroopers jumping out of the back. Pretty cool. And also in, like, so you see the Battle of Bastogne, right? You see supplies being airdropped? Kim's dad. Yeah. Very, very cool stuff. So this is dedicated to the All Marine Radiohead Chef. And a little bit to coaches and mentors out there who make a huge difference in terms of developing young people. And parents who put their kids in those situations and then allow them to experience the failure, the success, and hopefully the hard work that contributes to making better young people in this country. Real consequences, real structure that real people need. That's how you make them good. So, dedicated to all that. It's a complicated dedication. So, but you're a smart audience, which is why you listen. So I figured I could get away with that.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off, and don't talk about it, and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We'll be right back.
Okay, now I have to stop it because I wanted to add this little nugget from Duncan Hunter. This is the piece of audio that I was looking for yesterday. He and his wife have been indicted on something like, I don't know, how many counts of election fraud. Evidently, they were using their campaign money. And he says it's all a political witch hunt. Okay? And so a congressman in the United States makes $174,000. He's allowed a campaign manager that's paid another $32,000 in federal money. His wife is that campaign manager. So between that, what is that? $206,000. Okay, so I saw this piece of audio yesterday, and it's jaw-dropping. Okay, here's what he said.
There's nothing illegal about being poor. Okay, I don't think there's anything illegal about not having money in your bank account. There's nothing illegal about being poor. Okay, I don't think there's anything illegal about not having money in your bank account. There's nothing illegal about being poor. Okay? I don't think there's anything illegal about not having money in your bank account.
Okay, hey, Dunk. You're right about that. There is nothing illegal about being poor. And you're right on count two. Okay? There's nothing illegal about not having money in your bank account. Okay? But when you're pulling down $20,000 a month, it might only be $18,000. I'll do the math. Okay, let me do the math right now because I want to get this right when I'm talking about Duncan Hunter. Mac, you shouldn't be doing this. He's a Marine. Aren't we supposed to be on his side? I think we're supposed to be on the side of truth. And everybody gets a trial, but don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining, bro. Okay? So you get a trial. So $206,000. A year divided by 12. Now, I don't know if they have any other additional income. That turns out to be $17,166.67 a month. Okay, now, I'm not sure where the poverty line is in the country. I think it's pretty far south of that. I'm pretty confident I'm on terra firma relative to that. Can't make this shit up, man, honestly. You know, it's like comedy. Like, you'd like to make up comedy shit like this, but you couldn't even make it up. Like, come on, that's over the top. Junior Walker and the All-Star. One of the great saxophone segments of any audio, right here. Gets better. Come on, how good is that? That's awesome. Somebody sent me an email yesterday. Do you really hate jazz? Oh my god, I hate it with a passion. You got all these losers. They're like, oh, they're all smart. They're like sitting around. And they're bobbing their head. Oh, this is so awesome. Doesn't have a beat. You can't dance to it. Right? It's weird jazz shit, right? Oh, my God. And you're like, come on, man. This isn't even... You want to know why this isn't on American Bandstand? Because you can't dance to it, okay? And the lyrics, nobody can understand them. Jazz. Like, go figure. Oh, Mac, Herbie Hancock. Oh, Mac, Al Jarreau. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, just stop it. Oh, Mac, Dizzy Gillespie. Oh, Mac, stop with the jazz already, okay? I don't like it. All right, the weather that I'm going to read you an email I got in the middle of the night. And we'll take a break. We'll check these headlines on our way to the top of the hour. Sunny and 70 in Quantico. That's good. A little bit cooler there. Sunny 74 at Camp Lejeune. Clouds, a few clouds, and 82 in Granbury, Texas. Kind of ops normal there. Still cool up in Montana. 55 degrees under sunny skies in Montana with a weather warning. But there's only one, so I don't consider that significant. 29 Palms is cooled off. Partly cloudy and 75. Pendleton, clouds and 70. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 84. They have two weather warnings as we keep our eye on the weather in Japan. Does live television like anything more than crazy weather? Great, like these crazy weather shots or reporters standing around, right? You know, at some point, somebody's going to get killed when they're standing around in hurricanes and somebody flies through the air and clobbers them in the head. We're one day closer to it. But those are the shots. And to the reporters, that's how you get famous, right? I'm going to go report from this some bitch. I'm going to get on national TV. I'm going to go someplace. Going to be able to put this in my demo tape. I'm going to be awesome. That's right. Be careful, man. That stuff will kill you. In Afghanistan, it is sunny and 100 degrees in the Helmand province. And in the land of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, a beautiful Southern California, 69 degrees with overcast right now, the way we like it. Looking for a high today of 80, Friday 79, and Saturday 78. A cooling trend. We love it. Okay, so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. We'll check news headlines on a Friday. Chef comes up after that. It's angiogram day. And so we'll talk to him.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good. Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
Peyton Davis. Yeah, check it out. Interview was on Tuesday. Master Sergeant in her JROTC unit in high school. Swimmer, figure skater, classical music, classical voice lessons, now a country music singer. Shot on the rifle team. What doesn't she do? Let me check some news headlines after I read you an email. So I get email, and I get it like at weird hours. All right? This is from Jake. Hey, Mac, huge fan of the show. I've been listening consistently now for about a year. I really love seeing how the show is evolving and bringing peace to those not in our tribe. It's pretty amazing to witness. Also, to touch another subject, speaking firsthand, listening brings a sense that of that missed brotherhood. Even to those of us who never went to the dirt, the stories, the shit-talking, the interactions between you and the gunner are gold. It all helps. Last thing, I was curious. I've heard Gunner mention his dad briefly here and there, that he served in Vietnam in 67-68, if I'm not mistaken. Has it ever been discussed to have Gunner's dad on the show? Maybe talk about his experiences? How he dealt not only with what he went through, but also how he dealt with seeing his son going to war, knowing that he would face the same challenges he faced, and how it affected their relationship. Thanks for your time. Semper Fi. So imagine waking up, because I don't sleep through the night, waking up, check your phone, and email, and you get, like, little pieces of gold. So, to answer the email, yes, that's come up. Mike said he would check on it, never got back to me. Not sure if his dad would be interested, but certainly would be a fun, interesting interview to do. So, I will re-engage on that, the Gunner's dad, and I appreciate the email. And go ahead, email any time of day or night. Okay. Does not matter to me. All right. Marine Corps headlines. MUX program moves forward despite steep cuts. Okay, what does that mean? The MUX program is this, the Marine Corps' drone program. Okay? So the Marine Corps wants a drone that can be launched off ships and operate from shipping, and it's its futuristic sea drone. Okay, 50% of the funding was gutted in the last congressional session. Okay, Marine Corps requested 25, they got 14. Okay, but the program will continue. Okay, the admonishment from Congress was, find something that currently exists. Marine Corps believes it is a capability that the Marine Corps is going to need. Okay? It's not just another drone. It is going to be a breakthrough technology. Okay? Officials with the Marine Corps Naval Air Systems Command, or NAVAIR, are currently conducting engineering analysis visits to various companies to look at potential alternatives that could satisfy the Corps' capability needs, according to Captain Christopher Harrison, Marine Corps spokesman. All right. And so, again, visits to different things. So that's in the news. Interesting little program because of the unique capabilities the Marine Corps is looking for. Interesting story, because it's probably near and dear to my heart. But Nick Francona, if you're a baseball fan, you should remember the name Francona. But Nick and I share a common lineage. We're both kids who grew up in and around Major League Baseball, and both chose the Marine Corps. And so Nick served in Iraq, I believe. And he writes an op-ed in Military Times. And he says, "Is Big League Baseball bad for military veterans?" Whoa, what? A military softball tournament at the All-Star Game, veterans tributes, surprise military family reunions, camouflage uniform, checks to charity. At face value, Major League Baseball loves veterans and military families. The league appears to check the right boxes until you dig deeper, which is what I did as one of the few post-9/11 veterans employed by Major League Baseball. I love baseball. I grew up around the sport and played it through college. I always dreamed of working in a front office, but delayed that pursuit until after serving in the Marine Corps. I never imagined that I would eventually walk away from baseball, pushed out for standing up for myself and all veterans and military families. I was turned into a pariah by an institution that glorifies veterans in public while failing them miserably in private. My personal wake-up call came when I was assistant director of player development for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I informed my boss, Gabe Kaplan, who's now the manager of the Phillies, that I was going to get a traumatic brain injury screening for reoccurring morning headaches. This simple notification spiraled out of control. I was called a damaged veteran and urged to take a leave of absence. When I wouldn't leave on my own, I was pushed out. It took 7 months for Major League Baseball to conduct an investigation, which turned out to be a sham, with the results never being shared. I turned down a settlement, recognizing that I would be shut out of baseball and wouldn't be able to help other veterans. Okay. Interesting. Despite this dispute, I was hired by the New York Mets, encouraged to help Major League Baseball better serve veterans and military families by improving their programs. I took this charge seriously, proposing initiatives that would improve MLB support for community it claims to care about. It was only when I experienced pushback on low-cost, high-value proposals that I realized the crass and cynical commercialism of the league overshadows efforts to genuinely support the veteran and military communities. While I don't see widespread malice across Major League Baseball front offices, and players are often very supportive of veterans, there is a dangerous combination of apathy and ignorance that has caused Major League Baseball to fail miserably in employing veterans and engaging meaningfully with military families. When it comes to Major League Baseball's employment of veterans, the numbers speak for themselves. In 2017, Major League Baseball boasted of having 10 veterans in a workforce of approximately 5,000 across team and league offices. The league has existing mechanisms in place, including diversity programs, that could increase the number of veterans working in Major League Baseball, but has ignored numerous suggestions to modify these programs to include veterans. Okay, and then I'll cut to the conclusion. And then I'll add my own little footnote to this. I expect Major League Baseball will respond, noting that I was fired by multiple teams. They said as much when pressuring me to leave quietly, and that's true. I was fired most recently by the New York Mets in June for criticizing Major League Baseball's lack of transparency and engagement around Memorial Day in 2018. The Mets told me that I had done a tremendous job for their organization, but that my comments were not compatible with a career in baseball. My real crime in the eyes of Major League Baseball was standing up for the rights of veterans to be more than just figureheads for our national pastime. The truth was inconvenient, and I was a liability. Major League Baseball has no problem to support service members, veterans, and military families. I'm sorry, Major League Baseball has no obligation to support service members, veterans, and military families. But by choosing to utilize veterans and military families for commercialized patriotism and financial gain, the league incurs an ethical and moral obligation to align words with actions. For years, Major League Baseball has ridden on the coattails of veterans to please its fan base. Now the league needs to evolve internally to actually benefit veterans and military families. It's not too late. While my tenure with Major League Baseball is done, the league can still do the right thing by truly opening its doors to veterans and military families. Nick Francona is a veteran of the Marine Corps. He led a scout sniper platoon in Afghanistan. He's also worked for the Angels, the Dodgers, and the Mets. Okay, let me give you my own little Major League Baseball story. I grew up in Major League Baseball. I have friends that have worked in Major League Baseball for 30-something years, and I've known guys who have worked there longer, okay, to include my dad, who spent 49 years in professional baseball. When I was looking for work, I went to a guy who's very prominent in the Los Angeles area, and I called a friend of mine who used to be very prominent in the Los Angeles area who works for Major League Baseball now, one a roommate from college, okay? I said, hey, could you, the other guy is more on the business side and the media side. So I said, hey, man, can we have lunch to the business media guy? The business media guy then, and I want to have lunch with him to talk about, can you help me? Can you put me in touch with people that can advise me how I get a job in L.A. in broadcasting? Okay. He then calls my roommate from college and says, hey, why don't we all have lunch together? I'm like, oh, well, I don't have any problem with that. But I wanted to talk business with you. I didn't want to have a three-way conversation with him involved. So we have lunch, you know, and we're talking about baseball. We're talking about this. We're talking about that. And so finally we start talking about me. Hey, can you introduce me? Oh, yeah, that should be a problem. Guess what I heard? Crickets. I get a call back from my roommate a few months later. Hey, did he ever put you? No. Well, maybe he doesn't understand what you want. He thinks you want a job. Well, how much more clear can I be? You want that guy? And let me just tell you what pisses me off. The guy that's with the local baseball team, Major League Baseball team, you got two to pick from. If I throw the Padres in, I can even confuse it more. You got three to pick from. Okay? His dad is a military veteran. He's on veterans advisory committees. I've known him since 1982, I think. I've known him since 1982. Now, you know somebody for that? They come to you and say, hey, can you help me? You know what he did for me? He did shit for me. And this just came up the other day in conversation somehow. And so it's ironic that Nick Francona publishes this, right? Big on words, you want a job, not so much. Trump's strategy is working in Afghanistan, says the departing general, Nicholson, that's leaving there. So the question is, what does working mean? And what is success in Afghanistan? Right? Broaden the lens, think outside the bun, okay? What is success for the United States in Afghanistan? Does it mean it looks like Peoria, Illinois? I don't think so. So what does it look like? What do we need Afghanistan? And create an interval for me, and we'll talk about this next week. Create an interval for me at the bottom that what we can accept and at the top what we would love. Okay? So, and I'll outline those two parameters, and we'll talk about it next week. What we can accept that, you know, this fighting continues to go on. The government controls the key cities. The Taliban have control in the rural areas. We can accept that. You want to know why? Because we have bases there, and they can never, ever be what they were to be for the world of terrorism, which is a place to go train and export it. Okay? That would be the minimum. Right? At the high end, what is it? It is Peoria, Illinois. Right? I don't even know. I've never been to Peoria, Illinois. But it's like Midwest United States. Okay? So that's the interval. Okay? So I think we have to define it. Afghanistan, what is it, okay, that we can live with there? So if we're supporting them through aviation sorties, and they're beginning to fly their own, and with essentially large QRFs, so when the Taliban ball up and they try to roll into a city like Ghazni, we can use that as an opportunity to kill them, right? They think they're flexing their muscle. For us, it's, yes, awesome. Let's kill them, okay? So that's that event. So at the end of the day, they don't control any major urban center. They're out in the weeds. Okay, that's fine. So can we live with that? And our Marines and soldiers are not out in the field getting whacked by those guys. Can we live with that? Okay, is that not acceptable? No. If you say no, then what is it? Then Fortress America. I just don't buy that. Okay, I don't buy that. Congratulations to female recruits at Parris Island. They'll be the first females to get the new female dress blue coat. Okay, now the old coat used to have an open neck, and they wore like a white shirt and a white shirt, because the coat is called a blouse. Right, they wear a white shirt and kind of a red tie. Okay, now welcome to the land of the neck vice. That collar, okay, and I hope you're fired up to wear it. Okay, that means you have to stay approximately at the weight, or you got to buy a new one because it won't fit. Welcome to the world of the hell of the male uniform in the Marine Corps. Right? Why do you think they measure it in boot camp? So that you'll keep your ass skinny. So congratulations. Congratulations. Welcome to the hell of wearing that uniform. That's right. That's why no other service has a belt. Because if your ass gets fat, it looks stupid. Yeah, you got a big fat gut, and now you got a belt in the middle of it. Nice. You got a northern hemisphere, you got a southern hemisphere of gut. Pfft, no bueno. All right, we already talked about Duncan Hunter and his wife pled not guilty. Okay, he's entitled to a fair trial. We will see what happens. Advocates to Secretary Mattis, don't waver on protecting troops against predatory lenders. All right. I'm not sure what the Secretary of Defense can do about those predatory lenders popping up outside of the gates of bases, other than put pressure on communities not to allow those businesses to go in there. And it kind of been an interesting study, interesting headline. Then we'll check the top five. DOD, take a break. You'll hear from the chef, and then the gunner will drive. Headline, enlisted women more likely to suffer adverse mental health effects after combat injuries, says a study find. Within a year after suffering a combat-related injury in Iraq or Afghanistan, 40% of military women were diagnosed with a mental health condition, according to a new study. Of particular concern is that enlisted women were more likely to have a diagnosis of mental health disorder and had significantly lower quality of life than women officers studied, said Judy Dye, a researcher at the Naval Health Institute. More than 1,000 military women have experienced combat-related injuries in Iraq and Afghanistan, said Dye. Although research indicates that physiological reactions do occur after combat injury, little research has been done on military women who have experienced these injuries. This research focused on women with combat-related injuries did not compare the results with men who experienced combat-related injuries. Researchers included military women who had a combat injury while on deployment to Iraq and Afghanistan between 2010 and 2015. So pretty decent body of work. Now, a combat injury isn't just being wounded, right? You can blow your knee out. You can have all sorts of injuries in combat. The research, which hasn't yet been published, considered their mental health diagnosis within a year after the injury. There were 1,012 women with adequate medical records to be included in the study, and 11 of those were injured more than once. The group of those with combat injuries was primarily enlisted, 62% in the ranks from E4 to E6, 85% served in the Army, 6% served in both the Air Force and the Marine Corps, and about 2% served in the Navy. More than half the injuries happened during the women's first deployment. Figures, because if you're injured seriously, you don't go back for a second. Of the 1,012 women, 40% were diagnosed with a mental health disorder within the first year. Here's the breakdown. Post-traumatic stress, 20%. Depression, 12%. Adjustment disorder, 9%. And anxiety disorder, 8%. So, interesting study. So, we'll talk about that sometime in the future. I'll put that into follow-up with an interview. All right, early bird. Number one, family remains hopeful of Navy as Navy calls off search for sailor that went missing. All right. Yeah, I don't, honestly, to go overboard for any reason other than flight ops is, to me, I don't understand it. Again, I served on a ship for 2 years, right? It's, the ship is a guided missile cruiser, Lake Erie, right? Lieutenant J.G. Asante McCullough. Overboard's procedures were initiated Sunday morning on the cruiser Lake Erie after the sailor failed to report for duty as the ship underwent training with a carrier strike group in the Eastern Pacific Ocean. On a Facebook video posted on Tuesday, a visibly upset McCullough criticized the Navy for failing to keep her family adequately appraised of developments. What? I don't understand. Oh. While Third Fleet officials have not notified the sailor, Alicia McCullough of Atlanta said this week that the lost shipmate is her son, Lieutenant J.G. Asante McCullough. Overboard procedures were initiated when he didn't show up for work. The mother, because it's confusing the way it's written, right? Because they don't say Alicia McCullough. In a video Facebook, maybe you're supposed to know if you're paying attention to the article, right? She posts something, you know, beseeching the Navy for more information. All right. So that story. Again, the power of social media. But again, how does somebody fall off a ship? It's crazy. You know what? And with the spat of this, at what point is the Navy going to install some security cameras on their ship so they can see what's going on at all times on their ship? Is this their attempt to take their own lives? They don't have access to weapons. So, you know, I'm gonna commit suicide by jumping off the side of the ship? Like, what happened? In a story that is terrible that we're going to get into here, because there was a girl who grew up at Camp Lejeune, she just wrote an article that I saw, so I communicated with her, asking her to come on the program. I forwarded her this story today, and again, it's a story about water. How the fuck can we still be having these issues anywhere in the DOD after Camp Lejeune? Somebody explain this shit to me. And what the fuck was going on at Camp Lejeune where people didn't get warned, people didn't take appropriate action, and people's lives were at risk? Or we might get in trouble, so we're not going to do the right thing? F.E. Warren Air Force Base, home to part of the nation's nuclear missile arsenal, is now testing its military family housing for contamination after a child's blood test came back showing elevated levels of lead exposure. It was announced on Thursday. F.E. Warren is a nuclear missile base located in Cheyenne, Wyoming, home to approximately 3,300 airmen and their families who support the 90th Missile Wing. It's been on the Environmental Protection Agency's list of Superfund sites for years, as the government has worked to clean up dozens of cancer-linked contaminants found in groundwater and soil. It was also most recently named by the Defense Department as one of the locations where groundwater has been found to contain PFOS or PFOA compounds, chemicals used in firefighting foam that are linked to cancers or birth defects. Like, come on, what the fuck? Seriously? How the shit are there not things in place that warn people, specifically the providers and the base commanding officers, that there is elevated levels? How are those things not in place? I don't get it. Bullshit. Number three, Norfolk sailor, Norfolk sailor, accused of trying to hire a hitman for a murder plot. All right, I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid. Four, enlisted women more likely to suffer adverse mental health effects after combat injury, a study finds. Now, I would tell you that that would be the number two story. Whoever ranks these, cranial rectum syndrome. Yeah. Get your secret decoder ring and figure that one out. Five, inside the U.S. fight to save Ghazni from the Taliban. That's an interesting little read, okay? Written by Time magazine. All right, we're going to take a break. You're going to hear from the chef next. So don't touch that dial. All Marine Radio continues right after this on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference.